It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The statewide coalition End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, it tracks a disturbing rise in domestic violence deaths in our state as federal funding to help survivors is drying up. We examine the implications, and you can join the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jenna Gormel is Public Policy Director at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Jenna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, and Monique Minkins is here, the Coalition's Executive Director. Monique, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Monique, let's start with you. You're anticipating a 70% reduction in federal funding for victim services here in Wisconsin. How would this impact End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin?
You know, it's bigger than End Abuse, and thinking that we support the programs around the state, and it's going to affect survivors, victims and survivors. I think about our homicide report that came out last fall, and there were 96 homicides for 2022. And with funding cuts coming and the homicide rates continuing to rise, that gives lots of concern. And so what the cuts will do is it will affect staffing at programs around the state. It will affect their operations. They may have to, some may close because they rely on that money to operate. Some people have more funding from that fund than others. And so this is really big in that it's going to affect a lot of people. We've had, like I said, 96 homicides in 2022. People are going to die, and that is a great concern for us.
Mm. Jenna, what stands out to you in terms of this drop in funding and what it would mean for services in the state?
I think what stands out to me always, or what feels really stark, is just the numbers in some ways, right? The stories are obviously very powerful, and we can talk about that as well. But I think when you understand the magnitude of the cuts, so we're talking about a 70% cut in funding, and that is going to happen in October, which is just going to be an absolute cliff for domestic violence and sexual assault programs all across the state, who, you know, right now the Department of Justice administers about $44.5 million per year for programs all across the state. And they're projecting that in October, that is going to drop down to $13.5 million. So a 70% cut is just, it's enormous, and it's almost unimaginable the impact that it's going to have for not only domestic violence programs and sexual assault programs, but as Monique said, the survivors across the state who are in dire need of life-saving services that they provide.
Jenna, can you step back for a moment and explain the Victims of Crime Act of 1984, what this fund does and you know, how it's distributed to Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Victims of Crime Act it's essentially a non-taxpayer source of funding that supports thousands of victim service providers across the entire United States. And that's funded by monetary penalties that are associated with federal convictions and certain criminal settlements at the federal level. And so basically, the deposits that go into the Crime Victims Fund kind of fluctuate year on year because it is relying upon these federal crimes being prosecuted and that money being placed into the Crime Victims Fund. And so what's been happening with the Crime Victims Fund is that there was a change to the way that the money was going into the fund, and we've seen a decline over time. And we thankfully had a fix to the fund that happened in 2021, the VOCA fix, which meant that there we're beginning to see increased deposits because monetary penalties from these deferred prosecution and non-prosecution agreements are now going back into the fund instead of the general treasury.
Okay.
So that gets to, yeah, that money gets distributed all across all of our states. But we, because of the declines in deposits over, you know, several years, the appropriators can only release a certain amount of money to states, and that's why we're seeing this huge cut.
Jenna Gormel there is End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin Public Policy Director. Monique Minkins is with us, who is the organization's executive director, as we discuss funding for victim services. You can call in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So meanwhile, here in Wisconsin, there is a bill in the state legislature proposing increasing state aid to fund victim services. And the bill recently had a public hearing in the assembly. Jenna, is there bipartisan support for the bills?
Yeah, absolutely. There is. We have strong bipartisan support in the Senate and the assembly, which is really fantastic. That one of the champions of the bill, the author of the bill, Senator James, and he's been fantastic in really pushing this bill forward. I think one of the things we want to always communicate is that domestic violence and sexual assault is not a partisan issue, right? It happens to everyone, regardless of political affiliation. And I think the Wisconsin State Legislature also really sees that as well.
Monique, the bill would increase funding for domestic abuse services by $7 million in this budget year and $18 million in the next. Would that amount be enough for the needs and services in Wisconsin?
You know, it's helpful. I don't know if it will be enough. We have programs who are already at a deficit, or not a deficit, but struggling to meet the needs of the people that they serve. Excuse me, and thinking that
Monique, are you there? I think we're having some trouble reaching Monique Minkins. I'm wondering, Jenna, you know, would the reductions in this Federal Crime Victims Fund, would, you know, that creates some sort of crisis for domestic violence services and prevention? Do we need, a stimulating state funding here in order to carry on these programs?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things that happens when I used to work at a domestic violence program for 5 years. So I've also been in a program that has experienced cuts, and I've seen the effect of that firsthand. And what it means is that when you'll have things like staff layoffs, you'll have a lack of funds to do programming like prevention programming, which we know is obviously so critical. You need both things, right? You need crisis intervention to support survivors who are experiencing chronic violence right now. And you also need prevention programming so that we can, you know, solve the problem and kind of transform the conditions that allow violence to happen in the first place. And when you have cuts to funding, programs are forced to really think about, okay, what is the absolute critical services that we can provide? And the first thing that falls off is usually prevention efforts, and then also sexual assault advocates get left behind and get dropped, and that is a huge problem. And we want to make sure that survivors that are coming to domestic violence and sexual assault programs have all of the resources that they need, and that they actually know that the programs exist. Because another thing that, you know, programs can shut down, or they're not able to advertise themselves in their communities because they're just so focused on meeting the need and they're overwhelmed. And a lot of survivors don't even know that these programs are out there to help them.
That these services even exist. Jenna
Exactly.
Gormel is with us, who is Public Policy Director at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Monique Minkins is Executive Director. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Domestic violence is ending the lives of Wisconsinites at record levels, and those figures are from a statewide coalition of advocates at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We discuss interventions and funding for survivor services with the organization. Jenna Gormel leads public policy, and Monique Minkins is executive director. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Monique, let's examine 96. Your organization reports that 96 people died from domestic violence-related deaths in 2022. Do you see common patterns among these deaths?
Most definitely. The 96, the majority were in the process of leaving or have left. There are all the risk factors that are common, where there was either a threat to kill, there was stalking, the use of a weapon, strangulation, sexual assault, or obsessive jealousy. One thing I noticed about the report is that we often see, or in the past, there's been more of a concentration of homicides in urban areas, where here 47 were in rural areas and 49 were in urban areas, and so they occurred in 25 counties. And so it doesn't matter where you live or who you are, anyone could fall victim.
Are there persistent, like, racial and gender disparities that show up in the numbers?
Yes. Not Hispanic Black women and American Indian, Alaskan Native women are killed at nearly three times the rate of non-Hispanic white women. And as you said, they also face economic disparities. That's huge. You know, we've seen it. I think about recently where there was a homicide in Milwaukee over the weekend, and it was a Black woman. I think that police play a great role in our community, and there are some people that are not comfortable calling the police. And it's because of they don't want their partner arrested. They just want the violence to stop. They're concerned about being arrested. There are many, many factors that go into it. And so, yes, that's our homicide report.
Let's take a call now. Susan is with us in Westfield. Susan, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I was just listening to your program, and it really struck me. I'm from California, and two decades ago, I left an abusive marriage. If I had got the help I did, I wouldn't be here now. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
It's so important. It is so important. When I left my marriage, I went to Weave, and I got a lot of help, and I got help from the courts. And if that help hadn't been there, if I hadn't been able, you know, to have people just by my side, to have a victim witness advocate, to have people that just guided me through, you know, everything, because it really doesn't matter how intelligent you are, how much you think you know, or anything going through something like that. You have to, having people by your side, and to take away the aid that women need just kind of horrifies me, honestly.
Susan, thank you for sharing your story. Jenna, what do you hear in Susan's story?
Well, thank you, Susan, for sharing. I appreciate you calling in. I think what I hear in Susan's story is the story of survivors that are all across the state, survivors that I worked with, survivors who testified at the public hearing last week, is that the situation that they, you know, you're in is is so horrifying, and just having an advocate there with you who's able to navigate that so many complex systems that you now have to face is life-saving and life-changing. And I think, you know, Susan said it, you know, herself, it's like she might not have been here had she not had an advocate. And that is the case. That's what we're seeing, is that when folks don't have access to supportive services, we're seeing an increase in homicides. You know, the homicides went up by 20% in 1 year. And that's because people don't have access to those life-saving supports. So thank you so much, Susan, for calling in and really kind of expressing how supportive it was to have that help.
We're talking about funding for survivor services here in Wisconsin. Jenna Gormel there is, and Domestic Abuse Wisconsin's public policy director. Monique Minkins with us, executive director. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Kevin in Janesville is here. Kevin, hi.
Hi, good morning. It's just such a heart-wrenching situation from beginning to unfortunate ends, but has any thought, plans, funding going toward community outreach and education in high schools or even middle schools? The relationships, the violence is just so normalized in media and society, and we head it off before it takes root. Thank you.
Kevin, thank you. And a note here, Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month is underway. Monique, go ahead.
Yeah, Teen Dating Violence Month is underway. Our teen summit, we have an annual teen summit, and this year it's April 28th to the 30th. People can register on our website, and I think about, or our website, endabusewisconsin.org. And thinking about what Kevin was saying, and our youth, we always talk about how someday they're going to change the world. I remember saying that to a youth and hearing her say that we're already here. And they are powerful. And when I think about the Teen Summit and what Kevin was saying about going upstream and being proactive, the Teen Summit is facilitated mostly by youth. Most of the programs or the sessions will be facilitated by youth. And they have stories to tell, and they have lots of solutions for us that it's important that we listen to them. And so I agree with you, or with Kevin, in that prevention is really important. Unfortunately, we spend quite a bit of time looking at doing intervention, and prevention would tell you, or even have an opportunity to stop and looking at historical violence and trauma, childhood trauma, family trauma, all of those things that are important to examine to understand why people do what they do, I think is really important. And so Kevin hit it right on the nail.
Jenna, how common is dating violence among teens?
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, 1 in every 5 teen will experience domestic violence.
Wow.
So it is, it's a huge problem. And I think, to Monique's point, one of the reasons why the Teen Summit is so important, and thank you, Kevin, for highlighting this, is that, you know, gender stereotypes really play a huge role in the perpetuation of domestic violence. And, you know, those stereotypes obviously arise from our cultural values. And what one thing we want to do is try and kind of break those stereotypes down and not leave them unexamined, because we see, you know, research shows that there is a significant relationship between really strict masculine gender roles and intimate partner violence. So we want to really break these gender stereotypes down, you know, like stereotypes like women are more submissive, men are more aggressive, like, and break all of that down. And when you do that, the research shows that folks leave those spaces with different views of seeing the world, different ways of seeing themselves. And it is a really strong preventative measure for domestic violence and sexual assault.
Monique, in our last few moments together, there might be someone who could say, you know, it could never happen to me. It would happen to someone else. Who is victim services not reaching?
I think victim services is reaching whoever's not aware, people that are isolated. You know, there are so many avenues and so many resources out there, and it's a matter of whether people are aware of them or not. Yeah. And if they're not, then it's really hard. If they don't reach out for help.
Well, Monique and Jenna, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jenna Gormel, Public Policy Director and Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Monique Minkins, the Executive Director. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.